So you shall say to my master Esav.
Koy Omar Avdecha Yaakov. So said your servant Yaakov. Im Lavan Garti, with Lavan I lived, but Eichar Arota, and I remained with him until now. What is the meaning of Im Lavan Garti? So Rashi brings down two pshatim over here. Garti is from the lashon of ger, a stranger. Loinasei si sar v'choshev. I didn't become somebody important there, choshev official. El ger, I was considered a stranger. Eincho kidai lisnoi yisi al habro al birchei shevicha shebrechani. Hevi gvir la'achecha. It's not kidai for you to hate me over the brachas that your father gave me. There wasn't mekuyim in me. That's one shot that Rashi brings down. Dover acher, garti begematria taryag. Kiloimer, that means to say, im lovan harosha garti, with lovan the rosha I lived, the taryag mitzvah shamarti, and I kept the taryag mitzvahs, v'loi lomadati mi maisav haroyim, and I did not learn from his bad maisav. So say Chachomim asks over here, what interest would it be to Esav to know whether Yaakov Avinu kept the mitzvahs or not? Why was this of any importance to Esav? So the Sifsa Chachomim explains, because Esav was hoping that Yaakov Avinu's madrega was lowered by the fact that he spent all these years with Lava. Yitzchok Avinu told Esav, "Ahoya, I'm sorry if he will lower his madrega, ufarak the ula, then you'll be able to break his edge over you." So Esav was waiting for Yaakov Avinu's madrega to be lowered, and hoping that it would be lowered so that he could rule over him. So that Yaakov Avinu told him, "In love and garati, with tayag mitzvah shamarati, ulo lamarati mimaisav haroi." So don't have in mind that my madrega went down. Baruch Hashem, I still kept my madrega. Question over here is, how is it possible for Yaakov Avinu to keep all of the Tayag mitzvahs? Tayag mitzvahs, there's many mitzvahs, hatzluyos ba'aretz, that depend on Eretz Yisrael, trumas and maitzvahs, and karbonis. There's a mitzvahs on the melech, there's mitzvahs on kohanim. There were so many mitzvahs that it was impossible for him to be able to be mekayim. So, what's the pshat? In lovan garti, the Tayag mitzvah shamarti, I kept the Tayag mitzvahs. So I always thought that the pshat was, and I think there are mafarshim that say this, that the Gemara says, "Kol ha'oisik b'teiras vachim u'shlamim, ma'ala olav akosav ki'ilu hikrivan." Nowadays we don't have karbanis, but if we learn the halachas of zvachim and shlamim, the Torah considers it as if we were mekayim. So it's like that with all the mitzvahs, that it's impossible to be mekayim nowadays. If we learn the halachas that are not Negeya, Aval Pikein, with the Limud HaTorah alone, it's considered as if we were Mekayim. And that's why Yaakov Avinu was Mekayim. But it's much more of a Tayag Mitzvah Shamati. I actually kept the Tayag Mitzvahs. So what is the Pshat? So this year I saw a new Pshat from Rav Leib Gurewitz, Zechatzadik Lebrach, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead. He has a sefer on Musar Hashkof or Chumash called Mavi Sha'arim. And he says the following. He says, Tayag mitzvahs are very deep. Tayag mitzvahs are just the basics that are in front of us. But every one of those mitzvahs have various branches that branch out with their prokim, and with their se'ifim, and with their different little nuances. So it's possible that Yaakov Avinu was not mekayim the inyan of karbonis per se. But there are lessons to be learned from the karbonis that represent karbonis, and in that way he was able to be mekayim the inyan of karbonis. For example, it says in the Torah in the Aseres Hadibris, Leisinov, person should not commit adultery. One of the se'ifim of Leisinov is Leisasid Vilreyecha. You should not overstep the boundaries of your friend to take away business from him. That's just one small example of how mitzvahs, they overlap with each other, and how each mitzvah has se'ifim. The Aseres Hadibris are just 10 major roots of where all of the mitzvahs branch out from. So it's very possible that Yaakov Avinu wasn't mekayim mamish, the mitzvah of karbonis. But out of the mitzvah of karbonis, there come branches, which he was able to be mekayim. The mushrim dekenyanim of the karbonis, the ethics of the karbonis, and that is shayach v'tayag mitzvah shamarit. And with this he answers a famous Gemara. Medrash says that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, he went around to the Umas HaOlam offering them the Torah. So first he went to Esav, to Edom, and he said, would you like to be Makabal the Torah? So what does it say in the Torah? It says, like, Sirtzach. Oh, no. Sirtzach, we live. I can't live without Ritzich. Went to Yishmael. Would you like to accept the Torah? What does it say, Leisigna? Oh, no, I can't. Without Leisigna, I can't live. And then he went to Amon and Moab. So what does it say, Leisigna? Oh, we can't live without them. So they didn't accept the Torah. So the famous question he asked is, that has nothing to do with accepting the Torah. They're chayv and zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Those mitzvahs that were given to them that Hashem told them about, leisirtzach, leisinav, leisignav, those are all the zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. So what does that mean they didn't want to accept the Torah? They were chayv to do it anyway because of the zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. So he says it's eim edayme. It's eim edayme, the leisirtzach of the yid to the leisirtzach of a zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. By Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, Leisirtzach literally means shedding blood. By Yid Leisirtzach is Malbim Mechaberi Baraman. Eli Chayil Loyim Abba. That is a kind of shedding blood. So he told them, are you willing to be Makabal the Torah with the Leisirtzach that the Torah considers a Leisirtzach? Same thing with Leisignoi. Leisignoi, we tax budget sticking your hand into your friend's pocket and grabbing something out. Chofetz Chaim said that if a person is sitting amongst other people and he's a scheduled speaker and he's choshed that by him speaking he's going to be taken, covered away from the other speakers, that is a form of leisignoi. That's beyond our, you know, what we understand leisignoi to be, right? That was the kind of leisignoi that he offered the guy. Leisignoi has many different se'ifim, many different problems to it. Sagam Yaakov Avinu, there were certain things he wasn't able to be Makayim openly the way we understand it, but he was able to be Makayim the Se'ifim of all the mitzvahs in a different form. That is the Tayag Mitzvahs Shamarti. So that is the Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti. Rav Ruderman, Rosh Yeshiva Neri Yisrael, asked another horror over here. In Lovan Garti, V'tayag mitzvah shamarti v'lo lomarti mimaisav haroi. And I didn't learn from his bad actions. I mean, once you say that he kept the tayag mitzvah, it's self-understood he didn't learn from his bad actions, that he didn't have ashba on you. So why was it necessary to say im lo vangarti v'tayag mitzvah shamarti and then afterwards v'lo lomarti mimaisav haroi? What exactly is that adding to the tayag mitzvah shamarti? So Ruderman said a meridiki yisayit. Ruderman said, you see from over here that it's possible to be Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula and still be influenced by the outside world. And still be influenced by a loved one or be influenced by people that don't live Al Pi, the Ruach HaTorah. Not everything is black and white, Mutter or Usser. A lot of times people will say, well, show me where this and this is Usser in the Torah. There's certain things that the Torah does not say openly, this is Usser. The Afal Pekin, there are certain things that are not lefi the Ruach Yisrael Sama. It's not lefi the spirit of Yisrael. The way of living of the Goyim. Not everything, you know, there's beferish Osir in the Torah. But there are certain things about overindulging in Gashnias and overindulging in the Ruach of what the Goyim consider good. Hagam doesn't say beferish in the Torah. Over Afal Pekin, it's not lefi Ruach Yisrael Sama. That's what Yaakov Avinu was Meisav. In Lovan Garten, I lived with Lovan. V'tayag mitzvah shamarti, I kept the tayag mitzvahs. And if you think that I was affected at all by Lovan, his way of living, I didn't learn from his ma'isav aroyim bichlal. So don't think that affected me either. Rav Chatzka Levenstein, Tzadik B'Kodesh Levrochit, was the Mirror Mashgiach in Shanghai, and he came here to America, I think it was 1949, around then, came into America. He was the Mashgiach in the Mirror in New York for maybe a year, and shortly afterwards he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He says, Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, where are you going? Like, why do you have to leave us? So I can't live in America. America is a Talmidic place, I can't live it. You have to realize, in the late 40s, America was a different planet. It was a different planet. It was nothing like what it is today. You know, the Indian of Tznius was found by the Goyim. The Indian of Nevada was totally, you know, a publication that had Nevada and it would be totally banned. There was no such thing. The Afal Pi came, and that matzav, he said, there's Tumah over here, I have to go. So they asked him, Rebbe, what kind of Tumah are you talking about? He says, what do you have with America? You're in the Beis Medrash a whole day. We're not in the Beis Medrash, you're in your house. From the Beis Medrash to his house, when he walked in the street, he walked with his hands on his face like this, and there was a Talmud on each side guiding him to his house. He wouldn't look. He was like that. So what shaykhus do you have to America? You don't indulge in anything of America. So he said that if somebody walks into a winery to make wine, and he's there long enough, even if he doesn't touch a drop of wine, but the smell, the scent of the wine, he takes that in, he could walk out of shikr. So he says the same thing. He says, even if you don't imbibe and you don't take part in the American culture whatsoever, but if you're long enough, it can have an effect on you. Rav Chatzkel used to tell his Talmidim not to look in the show windows, you know, where they put things on display for shopping or whatever. Well, not to look at it. Not all sneers, but I don't have to do with sneers. But because you're affected, I have to have this, I have to have that. It works up the Yetzirah, right? You know, that's mamish, you know, that Madison Avenue attitude, where everything is advertised and everything is big. So that's something that they didn't have in Europe. In the mirror in Europe, they certainly did not have that. So that's shot in Bomangarti, with Tariag Mitzvah Shamarti, below Lamarti, Mimaisa Haroi, and it's possible, even if you keep Tariag Mitzvahs, it's shy to be affected by the Sviva. That's what Yaakov Avinu said that he didn't have. Rameir Shapiro says a little bit of another Zach, but Derek Melitza. He says, Yaakov Avinu said b'derech hanover, in love and garati v'taryag mitzvah shamarati. But he said, v'loy lamadati m'maisav haroyim. I should have learned from Lovin in a way. The way he ran to his avodah zarah with such a zrizus, I didn't learn from him. I really should have learned from him in that I should have run to my inyanim of mitzvah like that. So b'derech hanover, he said, v'loy lamadati m'maisav haroyim, I really should have learned from him. I should have gone to zrizus to do my avodah. That is the first Ta'or over here on Imlovin Gardi, the Tayag Mitzvahs Shamarti. There's a Levi the Kipshat over here. It says that when Yaakov Avinu sent presents to Esav, Shtei Vayikach Min Habo B'yodai Mincha LeEsav Achiv. He took from what came to his hand. What does that mean, he took from what came to his hand? He took Mincha LeEsav Achiv. What does it mean? What came to his hand? So Rashi brings down various pshatim. One pshat is that Rashi says he took precious stones that people carry in their hand, or he took from what was in his rishus. After he gave Meiser on it, it was in his rishus. There are two very nice pshatim over here that are said, one by the Chofetz Chaim and one from the Sefer Kehillas Yitzchak. The Chofetz Chaim says Yaakov Avinu could not bring himself to taking an animal of his and giving it over to the Koyach HaTumah to Esav. He says, an animal that was in his rishus, first of all, it's your dua that the belongings of tzaddikim, they take on a special kedusha. He says, by Zdei Ephraim, it says, by Yochum Zdei Ephraim was elevated when it came into the rishus of Avraham Avinu. This was a belonging, these were belongings of Yaakov Avinu. To give them over to Esav, he was going to be lowering them in Madrega. So Mimela, he couldn't willingly go and give it over to Esav. So what did he do? He stuck out his hand, and whichever animal randomly came into his hand, so in his mind they were going so that this animal should be the one. So by Yikach min harbo biyodai, he took more from what came into his hand, mincha l'Esav achu. But to go willingly and to give it over to Esav, that he couldn't bring himself to do. Another shot that the Kehillas Yitzchak and other Mefarshim say, he says, Yaakov Avinu did not want to give over an animal that was totally kosher to Esav. An animal that's totally kosher, that's not a treifa, is fit to be brought as a korban. Has tremendous potential for kedusha. So to give it over to Esav, he didn't want to do that, especially if Esav could be makrivit to his avodah zarah. So a full-fledged animal, he didn't want to give over to Esav. So he only wanted to give him those that had a hole in the lung, that were treif. But how can you tell when an animal's alive if it's a treifa or not? So the Darkei Moshe in Yeridaya brings down a simon, how you could tell that a live animal is treif or not. If you put your hand on top of the animal and it bucks under, it bends down on the floor, so then it's a simon is kosher. Why? It's a simon of anova. Anova is a kosher emida by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a simon of anova. But if it remains in your hand, that's a simon of gaiva, Gaiva is a trefer mitzvah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a simon that the animal is a trefer. The Simonich, he says, Lei nishbor v'nidke elekim lo yisivze. Something which is broken, something which is machmiya itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't discard. It's the Gaiva that the animal that's a simon of Tarkus. He brings it down from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, from a Rishi. It's the Mele. Yaakov Avinu wanted to test. He put his hand on top of it. If it remained in his hand, Bobi Yodai, then he knew that it was a trefer. So that he gave over to Esav. Right? But if it buckled under, it didn't remain in his hand, then he knew it was kosher that he kept for himself. Now the Baal HaTurim says an amazing remez over here. The Baal HaTurim says, Izim Mosayim, Uchyoshim Eshrim. That's female goats were 200 and male goats were 20. Rechelim Mosayim, the Elim Esrim. Each one of these words ends with the letter Mem. It's not the Baal HaTurim, it's a remez that he gave away only the Mem, the Baal Mum. Mem is from Mum. He only gave away the Baal Mum. So that fits in with what we're saying over here. He didn't want to give something which was kosher, because that he wanted to maintain for himself. It had the potential to be brought as a korban, but he gave over only the Baal Mum, or that which was considered a trefer. The pasuk says, "Vayira Yaakov Ma'oi Vayetzer Lo." Yaakov Avinu was very much afraid, and he was very much worried. Yeah, Rashi says he was afraid maybe he would get killed, and he was worried maybe he would kill others. Famous question is, what was Yaakov Avinu afraid of? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, V'nei Anochi Imoch, Shmarticha B'chol Asher Telech, and I'm going to bring you back to the land of your fathers in peace, complete. So what was Yaakov Avinu afraid of? What's the pocket over here? And Adrava was a tie on him, Taki. There was a tie on him, Chazal say that he was afraid. You know, where was his Zimunin HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the truth is that Rashi really, in the pasuk itself, really explains what Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. Kotainti mikol hachasodim. I am too small from all of the chasodim that you did for me. Zok Rashi, nismatu zechuyosai, my zechusim have become less and less, al yidei hachasodim v'ohemes shosisa imi. That's why I'm afraid. Maybe if you promised me that you're going to take me back to the land of my father, this lachlachti v'chei, I became dirty, sullied with chei, the yigran li lihimos of Yad Esav. So, simple, sound from the parshat of Shat, you see a meridik thing in Rashi. Yaakov Avinu kept the cheshbon. He had a checking account. You know, what are my debits? What are my credits? So I'm afraid that lefi the chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me, my debits are more than my credits. And it's not a Musar Haskel that a person has to keep a checking account. You know, we're worried about balancing our checkbook, and how worried are we about balancing our debits and credits when it comes to Zechusim? That we're not so worried about. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see a lesson from Yaakov Avinu and Ismael Zechiyosai, he kept the cheshbon. And if he felt that perhaps he overused his chusin, now he was worried. But the Kliyakar asks a question. What does it mean, Shem and Islach Lachdi Bechei? What on values did Yaakov Avinu do from the time that Hashem promised him Hinei Anochi Imoch till now? He was with Lavan. He kept all of the Tayag Mitzvahs. So since he left Lavan now, he himself said Tayag Mitzvahs Shamarti. I kept all the Tayag Mitzvahs. So in the small time from when he left Lavan till over here, he did Aveiris. What's the Shah? So the Kliyakar gives a teretz that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that the very fact that he sent Esav messengers trying to appease him, and he said, "Koy saimer la demila Esav," you know, "Koy amar avdecho Yaakov," he belittled himself to Esav. He thought that might be a bezoyin, and he overstepped his bounds of hishtadlus. That's what he thought. The truth of the matter is, Chazal take him to task for this. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, he's called a machzik be'ozne kelev. It's like someone that's going to the crossroads and he has to pass by a sleeping dog, this big ferocious dog, and he has to pass by, but the dog is snoring, the dog is asleep. And this guy wants to see if the dog is awake, so he goes, pulls it by the ears to see if it's awake, and he taka wakes it up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, it's like you woke up a sleeping dog. I told you, go right by, you have nothing to worry about. Esav is sleeping. So you had to go and wake him up by sending him halachim and pulling him by the ears. So at first Yaakov felt that was the shtadlus. Now he was making a cheshbon, and he thought maybe that was Takin Aveira. That was the Shemanish Lachlachti Bechet. But I was thinking Pashat. I was thinking, you know, the Kli Yoker is in the spoil. Happy Yaakov Avinu becomes Sovig Luchayim. We do not know the cheshbonus of the Gedolim, of how they have to fight different battles. I don't want to mention the name of this Avin Gadol, because I'm not sure that the person that told me this story wants it to be Mefarshim. There was a famous Avin Gadol, a tremendous Oyver Hashem, a tzaddik, that when he was already in his 90s, he told his grandson, who told me the story, he says, I want to leave this world already, I want to go. So he says, Zayda, what? You want to go? Every minute to you, every second to you was so precious, you're so full of life. He says, you want to leave this world? What's the pshat? So he says, it's getting too hard. He says, what's getting too hard? He says, the fight against the Yetzirah is getting too hard. So he says, Zayda, at 92 years old, the fight against the Yetzirah? So he says, until the last second, it's a fight against the Yetzirah. Now this tzaddik, you know, you think, 92-year-old tzaddik, you would think, a mashmit otzim, kulei teira, kulei tzedaka, kulei chesed, what kind of a fight against the Yetzirah? We don't understand those. We don't understand those battles. So for a Yaakov Avinu to say, shaman is lachlachti b'chei, it's not the kind of chaton that we can imagine. But in his world, where he has to guard, preserve his haimadrega of Kedusha, and it's easy to fall prey to a little nitiya of the Yetzirah, shaman is lachlachti b'chei. Reb Chaim Volozhiner once said to the Vilna Gaon, oy, if only I had the Rebbe's kishreinus, if I had the Rebbe's brains, I'd be so, mamish, so lucky. You know what the Vilna Gaon told him? Hashem should be shomer umatzel you from my kishreinus. So he says, why? So he said, the bigger the brain, the more it wants to probe. And the more it thinks, what's lamayla, what's before the world, what's going to be after the world's existence, and it's very easy to go off into pastures that a person is not supposed to think. These are the kind of yetzaharas that great people have. So this, if Yaakov Avinu says, Shemen is lachlachti b'chei, it's something we can't imagine what his nisyonis, what his battles were. But one thing is for sure, for that madrega of Kedusha, he had to fight a lot harder to preserve that madrega of Kedusha. Memela, he was worried, Shemen is lachlachti b'chei. Vayoretz Esav lekrosam, and Esav ran towards them. Vayechapkehu, he hugged Yaakov. Vayipor al savorov, and he fell on his shoulders. Vayishakehu, and he kissed him. Vayifku. Rashi says, Amar of Shimon bar Yochai, halacha he biyodur she Esav seina es Yaakov. It's known Esav hates Yaakov. So what happened? Did he kiss them? He had his rachmanis at that moment, and he kissed him with all of his heart. What happened over here? Yaakov Avinu sends malachim, and they say, "Bonu elochicha el Esav avameyazish. He's coming, avameyazishimai. Elochicha, you thought he's your brother, but he's still Esav Arusha. He's still with his sin." Yaakov Avinu was afraid, and all of a sudden, Esav comes and he hugs him and he kisses him. And Rashi says it was b'chol levavai. What happened in the interim that he turned from the worst Sinai to the biggest ayev? So there's a maybe the kemaisa over here. I'll have to be makatzer because it's a lengthy maisa, but we'll try and be makatzer it in just a few minutes. Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. It's known that he was not very, very well liked by the Zionists. He had a different hashgava than them, of course. He went in his own mahalach. So one day he's sitting and learning, and five big brutes walk into his house, and they, you know, they unroll their thing, and they start waving their fists, and they're cursing at him, the kol minei klolos, and he's sitting calmly, whatever. He's speaking with them, they're threatening him, and he's talking back to them in a nice way, and all of a sudden, he stands up, and he opens up his shirt button, and he says, if you want to shoot me, right over here. I'm not going to change my shita whatsoever. I'm not trying to affect you and to invade your shitas, but please, by all means, you have to be aware that you're not going to change my shita. With all of the threats, I will remain solid in my shita. They heard that, and they walked out. You know, just walked out, and they stopped, you know, they stopped talking. So, the family, a couple of them came out from under the table. They were so scared. family, the Talmidim said that it was Mestama, his hat was pardoned. They saw the emes on his face. And Mestama, that's what really affected them. So Rabbi Shachman Zonnefeld said, no, it was a totally different thing. He says, what happened over here? By Yaakov and Esav. What happened that from the beginning there was sinner, and all of a sudden at the end it was Mamash Ahava. He kissed him by Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Kamayim ponim al ponim, kein lev ha'odam la'odam. When you stare in the water and you see a reflection, the reflection looks back at you the way you look at it. If you smile, the reflection smiles. If you frown, it frowns back at you. The way you look at it, it looks back to you. Kein lev ha'odam la'odam. If I love my friend, and if I care about him, and I think highly of him, and I'm done him l'kav s'chus, kein lev ha'odam la'odam, that's reflected in his heart to me. If not, then, you know, it has its effect as well. He says, when these fellows were staying here, when these fellows were standing here, I was thinking in my heart, oy vey, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oy, they only would have gotten the right chinuch. Oy, they only would have been trained properly. Only, if only, if only, if only. And this is what I really felt in my heart. So slowly but surely, as they were standing here, kamayim ponim l'ponim, their hearts softened up as well, and well, they walked away with shalom without doing anything. And he touched up that's the pshat in the pasuk over here. Originally, Esav came with a tremendous sinner. But as Yaakov was walking to him, and he was mishtachavet to him, so Yaakov Avinu was thinking in his heart, oh, if only my brother Esav, if only, if only, if only, if only he could have been trained, if only he'd be able to control himself, if only he had such kaychus. And that's the way he felt in his heart. So as he was coming closer, Esav's heart softened up also, and finally, by Yakapkeyu, by Yishakeyu, he kissed him below Sholem, kamayim ponim l'ponim, kein lev ha'odam la'odam. Which is a Maridika lesson to us, the way we have to look at others, the way we have to look at people. You know, the tendency is that people that are not in our own circles, we look at them differently, we look at them condescendingly, disparagingly, oh, they're from this and they're from that. If we really love everybody, and we really think about them the way we should, as brothers, then their relationship with us would be in a totally different matzav. I just want to say over one more short word. When they heard the terrible maisa with Dina that came from the field, they were very saddened and they were very angry. There was a nevola done in Klal Yisrael, lishkav es bas Yaakov, to be mezana with the daughter of Yaakov, v'chein lo yeyoseh. What is this double lashon? By his atzvu ha'anoshim, they were saddened. By yichalahem, and they were angry. By yichalahem, they were angry. What is by his atzvu ha? By yichalahem. What is this double lashon? So the Luska Rav, Reb Zalman Sirotskin, in his Sefer Oznayim LaTorah says, "Amiri the kipshat about the godless of the Bnei Yaakov." And when a fellow has to study for a test, and it takes work, and he didn't take it seriously, and he botches the test up. Is he angry at the professor, or is he disappointed in himself? The right reaction would be to be disappointed. There's no reason over here to be angry at somebody else for giving you a lousy mark. You're disappointed in yourself. Well, hepech, if somebody commits a violent act against a victim, is the victim disappointed in himself, or is he angry at the perpetrator? The right reaction is to be angry. What was the reaction of the Bnei Yaakov when they heard that this maisa happened to their sister? The first reaction was not that they got angry. The first reaction was, they were disappointed in themselves. If we would have been mechanech her properly in the right ways of tzniyus, she never would have gone out to see that parade, and this never would have happened. So the first reaction was to blame themselves, only after they blamed themselves did they get angry at the maisa with Shechem. And that's a maridika lesson. We have a tendency, whenever something happens, we're always blaming the other guy. By the Bnei Yaakov, and their God was their anche emes, the first reaction was, by his actual libam, they were disappointed in themselves. It's only after they blamed themselves that they pointed the finger at somebody else and they got angry at it. At Shechem Ben Hamor. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.